Holy Spirit, and old Brother Pepper's preaching this morning, and half of my notes tonight, and the song Robert picked out, "He Abides With Us," and truly, he said he'd come and will abide with us forever, and I'm thankful for that. I'm going to be reading now John 16, verse 5, where I'm again. John 16, verse 5. It says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." And let's just all look to the Lord together. Heavenly Father, we are thankful, God, for being in your house tonight, Lord. We're thankful for your salvation, Lord. We are thankful, God, for the Comforter you have sent back, Lord, to be abide with us, to strengthen us, to guide us, Lord, to help us. Lord, we just need you this night, Lord. We need your touch. We need to draw close to you. Let's ask you to have your way, Lord. We just praise you and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Here, well, the title of my message is "When He Is Come," and no big mystery of who we're talking about. It's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, which is going to be sent back by Jesus. In red letter words, it's Jesus speaking, says, "But now I go my way to him that sent me." He's talking about he was fixing to send back to the Father. And he came, we know, he said he was the way, the truth, the life. And he was our hope. And he is the revelation of God the Father to us. When we see Jesus, we see the Father. He said, "If you've seen me, you've seen him." He has come to do his will and be like him. And it says, and as he is drawn near to this time for him to depart, he's going to go back to the Father. He's telling his disciples here, and says, "Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart." And so they just didn't understand immediately. They were thinking, you know, this is really amazing what he is saying. It's unbelievable, strange, you know, to say that he's going to go back and just leave us here, but he's going to send a comforter. Who is this comforter? And truly, it must be a very outstanding individual to fill the place of Jesus, you know, when he was going to go back. You know, it would be big shoes to fill. And we know Jesus was not sending him back to take his place so much as he was just going to be pushed out of the picture, you know, and the other would take up where he left off. But he was coming to finish the work that Christ had done. And Christ was going back to the Father. And he's making intercession yet for us tonight. He's not giving up on us. He's still concerned about us. He loves us. He's still praying for us. But we have the Comforter that he sent back. He's come to abide inside of us and God with us. And it's a very good testimony we heard tonight about Sister Angel and forget her daughter's name, Gracie. I'm sorry, my memory's getting gone. But anyway, I'm thankful to hear that they were both filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Bible tells us in the last days, you know, the Lord would pour out his Spirit upon us. And this is in my notes, but we see it fulfilled here, you know, recently. And Jesus is, and the Holy Spirit is still working in our lives. You know, he's going to continue until he takes us on home. But he said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away." Expedient means necessary in order to receive the desired result. He was going to go back. He had a plan. He wasn't going to let the devil just have his way and take over again. But he was just finishing the work that he had already done when Jesus left. He is sending him back to help us. And some events will forever stand out in our minds and throughout history, you know, through eternity. We can think about the plan that Jesus had when he came as a baby, and that he came to redeem us of our sins. Then he went to Calvary, the tomb, the resurrection, and then the gathering of the disciples there in the upper room, the waiting, seeking for this comforter that Jesus said he was going to send back. And the day of Pentecost finally came, and that was the day the Lord was referring to, and when he has come. And that's not the only time he's going to come. We can look back at Azusa Street when the Lord worked in the early 1900s, I believe it was, and there was a great revival, and you know, a lot of miracles were done. And yet today, still, God is still working in each and every one of us through the Holy Spirit. And let's look at Acts 2 and 1. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we know there were people from different lands there, and they all heard their language spoken, and they knew that these were just common men. They weren't highly educated, but they heard them speak in their own language. They were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But it was just the Holy Spirit being fulfilled, coming. And it says, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor and smoke. But we see it all being fulfilled here in the New Testament in that time. And Pastor said this morning, do you believe we're in the last days? And truly we are. Even when Jesus was walking the face of the earth, it was considered the last days. And we're in the last of the last days, as the pastor said. In verse 21, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that is step number one, you know, being redeemed, saved, having our sins washed away. Then we become a candidate for the Holy Spirit to come in. And when we hunger and thirst for it, the Bible tells us in the Beatitudes, when we hunger and thirst for righteousness, you shall be filled. And the Lord wants to do that for us even more than we want it, I'm sure. And if we'll just yield to it and realize, you know, he wants to do that in us and use us as a vessel to work through to help someone else. And the purpose of his coming, Christ knew how the Comforter would further his redemption work. In John 14:16, it says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And I'm thankful that he abides with us forever. You know, such a friend as what the Lord has given us, we don't have to see him depart. And even when we go on to heaven, he'll yet be with us. And the pastor said it's just a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in, and he is the earnest of our inheritance. That's found in Ephesians 1 and 11. That was one of the scriptures I rounded up just before came this way tonight, and then Pastor hit it right on the target right before he got up here. Ephesians 1 and 11 says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after ye have believed ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of his glory. So just like the pastor said, we get a little heaven to go to heaven in. And when we get there, you know, it's just going to be a greater magnitude of what we've already experienced that God has blessed us with. And now he's here. The day has come. The day of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit was poured out. And it's not so much that particular day that's so important, but the act itself, God pouring out his Spirit upon all of us and making it free to everyone. And the purpose of his coming, like I said, John 15 and 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye shall also bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. So he's going to testify of Jesus. He's going to refer us back to him, and he's going to tell us about things to come, he said, and he's going to reveal things to us. John 16 and 13. It says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and show it unto you. And in my footnotes down here, it says, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, his principal work in relation to witnessing and proclaiming the gospel will be at reproving. The term reprove means to convict, expose, refute, and convince. And the Holy Spirit deals in each individual's heart, whether they're believers or not believers. You know, he still works in each and every one of us. And it says, the convicting work of the Holy Spirit is not only directed towards the unsaved, but also operates in believers in the church order to instruct, to teach, to correct, and to guide them into truth. And all of us, sometimes we start getting off track a little here, the right or the left, and the Holy Spirit helps guide us, get us back in the straight path we need to go down, and corrects us and guides us. And many times I'll be teaching something at the CCDC, and the Holy Spirit will bring a thought to my mind, you know, it's I've read in the scriptures, and I know it's the Holy Spirit working through me. You know, it wasn't me, but it's just him reminding me of what I needed to speak to that individual at that time. And, you know, that's the way the Holy Ghost works in us. And Jesus is God's gift to the world. God said, Jesus said in his word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So Jesus is God's gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is Christ's gift to the world. And Christ, he is the door into heaven, and the Holy Spirit ushers us through the door, and he helps us to get to heaven. And Christ gave himself for man, the Holy Spirit gave himself to man, and to come and abide in him and be with him to help him. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Holy Spirit leads us in the way, reveals the truth, and imparts life. And the first results of the Holy Spirit coming was to cleanse hearts and to make free. In 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your soul in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And so it says, purifying your soul and obeying the truth through the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will, like I said, it will help us to shape up and be in line with what Jesus wants us to be and be like Him. And Acts 1 and 8, I'm sure we're all familiar with, and one of the purposes of the Holy Spirit was to make us witnesses. And it says, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and to the utmost parts of the earth. And he wants us all to be that light to reach out to the lost and help those that don't know Jesus yet. In John 16 and 8, it says, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I think I've already covered that part. I'm sorry, I've got mixed up in my notes here. But it says, men, when they thought that they crucified God, that they were just doing away with him, and after a while, his influence on everyone and would just kind of vanish away and faint away, and his disciples go different directions, you know, and just lose influence on the people. But that wasn't the case. When Jesus sent back the Holy Spirit, it was to reveal himself more to us and draw us closer to Jesus, and it just strengthened the church, and it kept that from taking place, and he kept his church growing, even though Jesus went back to the Father. It's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to Christ, to his action, his creed, his life, his death, his resurrection, his divinity, makes it all plain to man. He reveals that all to us. And like I said, he brings truth to us. In Matthew 28 and verse 18, we know as the Great Commission goes to all believers. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Even though he's not here physically, he is still with us in Spirit, and you know, through his word and his Holy Spirit dealing in us. And we could meet up with him any day. He could come in the flesh, you know, meet us in the air, take us on to be back with him. We don't know when he's coming, but we just know we got to be ready. And God fills men with the Holy Spirit to convict sinners in the preaching, the singing, the praying, the working, even in the church today, just like he did on the day of Pentecost. Nothing has changed as far as the equipment God has given us. Like Robert said, the Lord's given us what we need to do his work, and we just need to go out and get it done. And Romans 8 and 11 says, but if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh, but if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. But it is the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so he's telling us here, if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. And it's been put to death, those works of the flesh. In verse 1, that same chapter, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's the key, whether we're walking in the flesh or the Spirit. We can't do both at the same time. You're going to go one direction or the other. It says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God, and it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But we need to walk in the Spirit and will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's like Pastor mentioned also this morning, what we think on is very important. You know, it's going to influence us, our actions, and where we go, and the company we keep, all these things, it's going to determine, you know, in the long run, whether we make it to heaven or not. It's a matter of doing what God said, meditating on the good things, on the pure things, the holy things, but being in virtue, praise, or thanks, think on those things. And we're all in different levels spiritually. We all start out in different times, and we grow in Christ, and we all need to continue to grow in the Lord, not stop. But when I go to Bible study on Tuesday nights, I'm faced with a little bit of a challenge there. You know, you've got 18 young people usually, and sometimes a little less, but pretty close to that most of the time. And you've been there preaching or teaching on one subject, and then another one will come in new and this night, and another one will leave. They're all coming in and going at different times, and it's hard to know what to teach on and things like that, because they all need to hear it all, but you know they're not all there at the same time. They're starting and leaving at different times, so have to lean on the Lord, you know, pray and ask him to guide me as to what to teach on. And I try to hit the basic fundamental things in the Bible, you know, the doctrines that are important, salvation, the Holy Spirit, the Lord's coming, and things like that. But there's other times you get to cover new areas, but like I said, you've got to lean on the Lord's direction in order to know what to teach on, because they're all coming and going at different times. And Luke 11 and 13, it says, howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus said to them, I'm in the wrong place. I'm sorry. I'm in the wrong book. That's what the problem is. Right chapter, right verse, but wrong book. That's embarrassing. Luke 11 and verse 13. That's one of the problems you run into when you look your scriptures up as you're preaching. Sometimes you goof up, which happens. It says in Luke 11 and 13, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? So if we desire the Holy Spirit, like I said, the Lord's willing and wanting to give it to us, we need to hunger for it and ask for it, then he will fill us. And Pastor talked about when he first received it at home. It was about a year, if I remember right, that he was seeking the Lord. It took me about that long, the infilling. But like you said, if we just surrendered that first night, you know, the Lord was willing to do it right then. My dad, when he got saved, he was saved at home in his kitchen, got filled with the Holy Spirit same night. And what a blessing. Luke 24, verse 49, says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." And there was some tarrying going on. They had to wait. And sometimes when we don't know exactly how to go about getting this promise from the Lord, we got to seek and we got to wait. We got to learn as we go, and it takes some time. But just don't give up. If you wanting it and you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, then He's wanting to come in. Believe me, it's just a matter of surrendering to Him. In 2 Corinthians 3 and 6, it says, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life." And it is not the law or written word of God itself that destroys, rather it is the demands of the law without the life of the power of the Spirit that brings condemnation. And we have a desire to do good sometimes, and we don't know how to go about it, and it's a struggle, you know, with the flesh. We all battle it. But the Holy Spirit comes in, and He helps us to get where we need to be. He helps weed out the things that are not pleasing to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 3 and 5 says, "Who then is Paul, or who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, but every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry, you are God's building." And it's not the minister that's getting the work accomplished. It's God working through them as they yield to the Lord, and He gets all the glory, and we will be rewarded for our faithfulness to let Him work in us. But it's a pleasure and a privilege to work for the Lord. But each minister, we are a little different in our personalities, way we work. You know, we don't all do the same thing the same way, but it's still the same God we serve, and He's using us and to speak His word. And just like the four Gospels, they're all telling pretty much the same story, but you see it worded a little different, you know, different personalities. They're looking at different situations, different things. But so when He has come, He came on the day of Pentecost. Then He came in Azusa Street, poured out His Spirit in the great revival. He's coming in the last days, He said, and we're there. If we hunger for it, we want it, we can have it. It's just a matter of reaching out and receiving it. And it's not a one-time thing. You know, we get filled and we're there, we've accomplished it. It's a continual thing. We need to be continually filled. We have an enemy that fights us every day, just like we've talked about tonight. But we need to get refilled. We need to get refreshed and strengthened by that Spirit abiding in us. And we can't do it without abiding in Christ, as we studied in Sunday school this morning. It's a matter of letting Him have His way in our life, and then He will work in us. But I thank the Lord for this message. I was praying last night. I got a little book at home, and I really much paying much attention to it. As I was praying, I felt led this way. And it wasn't my message. It's another message preached in a man in this little book. And it was written back in 1957. And I can't even remember the guy's name. He was a Nazarene. He was over at Nazarene College, and he had the highest degree of college. I guess you could call it theology. What is it called? Doctor. Okay, he was up there, but all those titles don't mean much to me. It's just a matter of the heart. But you can tell from the scriptures, you know, he knew the Lord. He was, back in those days, a lot of the denominations were much different in them as far as the Lord working through them. But we see a lot of changes nowadays. But still, God's word never changes. It's true. Someone else might come along another 50 years from now and preach this message. You know, heard me preach. You know, you never know. God's word is alive and it's everlasting, and it just keeps going. But as long as people are blessed by it and helped, that's what I'm interested in. God getting the glory. I'll turn it back to you, Pastor.